was as effective since I would have avoided at least the qualification assembly. And then audit committee, CETA has been highlighted as provides limited to no assurance, and the key issues that are coming up is they are also responsible for monitoring the internal controls and the reporting and the information, the credibility of the compliance information that's prepared and the financial information. So as a result of, you know, the compliance issues that have been identified, which ultimately resulted in a qualification on irregular expenditure and the qualification on property, plant and equipment and tangible assets, we feel like the audit committee could have played a more active oversight role in that regard to make sure that the information that's provided to the auditors is credible, and the internal controls throughout the year being monitored, and the necessary improvements in the deficiencies that have been identified, improvements are incorporated and being made as required.
Thank you, Joyce. So we now move on to our analysis of financial health and financial management. Maybe just to start with and to give the committee a bit of a background in terms of the key messages that we would have considered in this area. So it is a requirement of the accounting standards for department and public entities that management must assess using appropriate methods as well as cash flow forecasts to determine whether the entity will continue in operational existence for a period of 1 year from the reporting date, and also to consider whether during that period it will be able to pay its expenses and settle its debts in the ordinary course of business. In performing this assessment, management will then have to consider what is the appropriate accounting treatment that needs to be considered, or it needs to consider whether there's specific disclosures that need to be included in the financial statements in this respect. From an audit perspective, this review was performed across all of our entities, but for the purposes of our reporting and our presentation, we have noted a material uncertainty at one auditee, specifically in this respect, SABC. So during the audit of the SABC, there were certain factors that were identified through the review of the assessment that has been performed by management, included in the slide, but we look at three specific aspects, being revenue management, asset and liability management, and cash management. So what has been a concern for SABC over a number of years and continuing in the 2019-20 financial year, declining revenues. I think of the decline can be attributed to limited investment in new content, particularly before the period where the financial bailout was received. We noted, in addition, that there has been an adverse impact if you look at the COVID-19. The impact of COVID-19 in the period, especially since April 2020. In addition, we've noted specific challenges that SABC has in collection of debt, and we refer to inability to collect some of the money owed relating to TV licenses. We further noted continuing operating losses at the SABC, and note that specific measures must be implemented to address the situation to ensure sustainable stability and financial management. The SABC incurred a net loss of 511 million compared to 2018-19 loss of 482 million. The increase in the loss is mainly due to the decline in revenue when compared to the previous period. The decline amounted to 12%. If you look at the balance sheet of the SABC, there is a positive cash balance at year-end of approximately 1.9 billion, mainly due to the financial bailout that has been received. However, we did note negative operating cash flows, which are projected to erode the cash balances over the next year, which raises uncertainty about the entity's financial viability and its ability to continue operating optimally at its current capacity as a going concern. And the SABC incurred a net cash outflow from operating activities of 1.2 billion compared against 2018-19 of 74.1 million. Important to note is that the assessment is done at a particular point in time, and I think for the SABC going forward, what is important is that there is continued focus on the approved turnaround strategy, where management needs to ensure that there are sufficient initiatives in place and that they are driving their improvement in revenue for the 2020 and 21 financial period, so that they can improve on the revenue aspect of it. Maybe just in continuing to discuss financial health, we also present three graphs to highlight to the situation at SABC. If we look at the first graph on the left-hand side of the slide, we include in blue the revenue that has been recognized over a six-year period from 2015 to 2020. We also show them in orange then the expenditure that has been reported in their financial statements. And then the gray line shows the net surplus, or rather the net deficit that has been incurred since 2015. So essentially what you see with the first graph is that there has been a positive result as a result of cost containment measures that have been implemented, where we can see that costs are declining, the expenses are declining. However, we also notice that the revenue has also been declining. And unfortunately, the revenue has consistently been, the revenue reported has consistently been under the amount of expenditure that has been incurred, which has resulted in the deficit that has been reported over a number of years. Figure 2 on the right-hand side of the slide compares then the cash reserves of the entity compared against the payables, where you see again over a six-year period from 2015 that there has been declining cash reserves and increasing payables up to the period 2019-20, where you notice that there has been a spike in cash reserves and a decrease in payables. This is mainly due to the financial bailout that was received in 2019, and again, a portion received in 2020, which then assisted to improve that position and to allow SABC to repay to repay its creditors. For the next slide, we are referred to Figure 3, where we now compare the cash available to the SABC against the cash that has been generated through its own operations from the period August to March, again the period during which the financial bailout has been received. And again, you notice that the cash reserves continue to decline, but maybe more of a concern then is the own cash flow, which is going to be essential for SABC to improve in order to improve its financial viability and financial sustainability going forward. What is important is that even though SABC has access to cash reserves, the financial bailout is earmarked for specific spending on capital projects, acquisition of content, and the settlement of certain operational liabilities. It's therefore not intended to be used for all of its expenses, and in evaluating the assessment that has been done by management, we consider that there may be insufficient cash available by the end of the next financial year to be able to settle its liabilities and to pay for its costs, including employee costs. As a result of this analysis, we did consider that SABC did make appropriate disclosures in their financial statements. And as part of the audit report, we then chose to emphasize this matter, where we then just draw the user's attention to the matters that have been disclosed. Okay, there were no other entities that we had identified significant financial health issues in the communication for the PTPS portfolio. So now we will move on to our analysis of persistent wasteful expenditure. So if we look at the communications portfolio, we noted a decrease over the 2-year period that we are comparing. Important to note, we included definition at the top of the slide, where we say that persistent and wasteful expenditure essentially is expenditure incurred in vain and could have been avoided if reasonable steps had been taken, yet there is no value for money. In this portfolio, we noted a significant decrease from 244 million in the previous year to 27 million in the current year. If we consider for the nature of the persistent wasteful expenditure, we noted that 99% of this relates to the FABC and mainly as a result of late payments to suppliers. We did not identify any material matters for GCIS and NDDA. On the bottom right hand corner of this slide, we consider whether appropriate investigations were done relating to matters identified in the previous financial year, and we noted that at FABC and CASA that adequate investigations were not undertaken, and this had also resulted in the finding on market management in their respective work. Thank you, Joyce.
In the telecom portfolio, what we have noted an increase in the goodwill and wasteful expenditure from 1 million that was reported in the previous year to 3 million this year. So the amount of 3 million is representing maintenance and support payment that was made on the voice over and internet protocol equipment that is not currently in use. And then in matters of investigations of fruitless and wasteful expenditure for the portfolio, what we have noted is that appropriate investigations seem to be done on fruitless and wasteful expenditure of all the four entities. So in the previous year, the investigations were done. In the current year, we've noted the same thing, that investigations on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure.
We then move on to our analysis of irregular expenditure. We start off with the definition of what is irregular expenditure. When we say expenditure, irregular expenditure is expenditure incurred in contravention of key legislation, where goods have been delivered but prescribed processes were not followed. In this portfolio, we noticed a decrease from 368 million in the prior year to 286 million in the current year. We look at an analysis of the nature of the irregular expenditure. SABC contributed 82%, so 233 million of the total irregular expenditure incurred. CASA contributed 46 million, DOT contributed 5.6 million, and SPB 1 million. We did not identify any irregular expenditure, which is in the SABC. In the bottom right-hand corner of the slides, we again refer to investigations that have been undertaken relating to irregular expenditure identified in prior years, and we noted at CASA and SABC again that adequate processes were not implemented to ensure that these items identified were investigated, and as a result, this resulted in a finding on consequence management.
Thanks, Julie. I would just like to highlight that we are still reporting on the four entities that have indicated that it's either completed or stable. What we are in the process of updating the slides, I've noticed that we didn't update the specific slides. I apologize for that, but I'll just highlight the data that we have has been updated. So it indicates the entities that I'm reporting back on. It's just the narrative in the slide that you can ignore. So when you're comparing the previous year to the current year in terms of the illegal expenditure that is being incurred in this portfolio, we have noted a slight decline, although the figure is still large. So the current year, the irregular expenditure is sitting at 1 billion, and the biggest and the major contributor is CISA. CISA sitting with 1036 billion. And then in terms of doing the necessary investigations on the previously identified irregular expenditure, we have noted that the four entities that we're reporting back on, they had been doing the necessary investigations, and the picture shows an improvement where the current year we've reported that BTPS was not doing the necessary investigations on the irregular expenditures that have been identified.
With the next slide, we highlight some of the most common findings on supply chain in the communications portfolio. Essentially, we noted that this was across four of the entities in the portfolio. Been a regression since 2018. The most common findings relate to uncompetitive and unfair procurement processes at the DDC and DUC. The supply with the highest points or the lowest quotations not selected without any appropriate justification for that at SADC. The quotations not obtained and the deviation not appropriately approved. At SABC, Hospital, FTB, and COC, and we noted various other items in our contract procurement processes at FTB, Hospital, and
COC. And then in the telecom portfolio, if you look at the total number of OTTs that had findings in the procurement supply chain management, the overall picture shows an improvement. So currently we have three that are sitting with no main material findings on supply chain management, and we are only sitting with CETA, that's where we've identified material non-compliance in supply chain management. A bulk of the issues that we identified, that information was not available to substantiate whether they've complied or not. Just to give an example, there were goods that were purchased and we couldn't be provided with the substantiating information for us to be able to confirm whether the necessary procurement process was followed in obtaining the necessary quotations, or they should have gone out on tender if that has actually been done. So also there were no declaration forms that were received. However, the contracts were awarded. We've noted areas where the bidder with the highest points was not appointed when we request for the substantiating information, sometimes not provided, and we could not identify the reasons why, you know, the bidder with the highest point was not appointed. Also, failure to comply with the requirements relating to the local context requirements. It was also areas that we identified under the supply chain management. Advertisement duration were not met in some instances, where we found that they had advertised less than the required time. And then from the contract management point of view, we've noted that seems like there's a large number of contracts that have to be retained. The entity does not necessarily seem to appear to have the capacity to be able to manage their contracts. So as a result, you find that modification of contract is not appropriately done and appropriately approved. There isn't the relevant personnel to be able to oversee that process and ensure that compliance is done appropriately.
Thank you. Then we move on to the next section of our presentation, which relates to a key expansion of our mandate. This specifically refers to the amendments that were made to the Public Audit Act about 2 years ago, which introduced the concept of material irregularities. Maybe this slide then just highlights some of the key amendments that were made in respect thereof. So essentially, the amendments related to the following. So it allows us to refer material irregularities to relevant public bodies for the investigation, to take binding remedial action for failure to implement the AG's recommendations for material irregularities, and it also allows the AG to issue a certificate of death for failure to implement the remedial action if any financial loss was incurred. These amendments have been implemented in a phased in approach, and we started off with phase two in the previous audit cycle, 2018-19. In the 2019-20 financial year, we had included SABC in the scope of our testing of material irregularity. Maybe just for the information of the committee, we've included a definition of what is a material irregularity. So essentially, a material irregularity is any non-compliance with or contravention of legislation, fraud, theft, or breach of a fiduciary duty identified during an audit performed under the PAA that resulted in or is likely to result in a material financial loss, the misuse or loss of a material public resource, or substantial harm to a public sector institution or the general public. This definition has also been approached in a phased-in manner, and for the year under review, we considered firstly non-compliance, and we also considering the impact material financial loss. So, in respect of the SABC, we identified one material irregularity, as has been reported in our audit report. This is a matter that you might be aware of. It is a matter that has been in the public eye for a few years. But essentially, in August 2017, the SABC had awarded a contract for the provision of security. However, the award was made to a bidder that did not score the highest preference points, and this resulted in contravention of Section 21F of the PSA. And we noted that there were no objective criteria to justify the decision that was made by the SABC. We determined that the non-compliance is likely to result in a material financial loss, as the price of the tickets secured from the successful bidder was higher than the price submitted by the bidder that was the highest preferential. And the likelihood loss that the result is going to be the difference between these two bids incurred over the duration of the security contract. We noted that as of 31 March 2020, an amount of $112 million has been paid on the contract. We further noted that the public will not be able to recover the likely financial loss from the supplier, as the supplier is delivering the service in line with the contract. So we notified the accounting officer of the material irregularity. We did receive responses from the accounting officer indicating how they have dealt with this particular manner, and also indicated the steps that have been taken to prevent any further instances in future. We also noted in the response that the accounting authority intends to recover the loss incurred. However, as this matter is subject to a court process, the SABC will have to wait until the court process is concluded before they can decide how they will proceed further in terms of the loss that is incurred. So we've considered the steps that have been taken by SABC, and we consider them to be appropriate, and as a result, we will then continue to follow up on this matter with the next audit cycle to then determine
whether appropriate steps continue to be taken related to her loss of health.
Thank you. I think there's just a few more slides that we need to go through, but in concluding, we've included a portfolio snapshot of the communications portfolio. But on a high level, for the portfolio, we've noted two clean audits. There were five, that's two of the six that we're reporting on today. Five of those six entities received financially unqualified financial statements. All six of them had no findings on performance reports, and two of them had no findings on compliance with legislation, and we noted a decrease in irregular expenditure from 358 million to 200. Thank you, Jory.
In the telecom portfolio, we have an increase in the total number of clean audits with GCPS that has joined the clean audit team. Last year we had just only one, and the current year we have working with two. So the financially unqualified financial statements, you will see that we have two errors there, because it's quite an interesting, we had an interesting movement that occurred. So in the previous year we had a total of three that we received an unqualified financial statement with findings. What had then happened is that CETA has regressed, is now sitting at the qualification, and then we have DCPS that has improved, which is now sitting as P. So that's why we are reporting just only one, which is NEMISA. And then findings, where there's no findings on the performance report, we've also noted an improvement, which is one where there were no findings that were identified in the current year. And then in the previous year, we had a total of two. And then in terms of no findings that were identified on compliance with legislation, the total that we have, we are sitting with two. And overall, this is an improvement from the previous year where we reported three entities. And then in terms of irregular expenditure, I've indicated that there has been a slight movement. So there's a slight improvement in the total amount that has been reported, although it's still sitting at a 1 billion, which is still a large amount.
We then considered the root causes for the audit outcomes in the communications portfolio, and we considered that there has been a slow response to improving key controls and addressing risk areas, especially in the SDM environment at both SABC and ICASA. We have reported these matters for a few years. ICASA has received non-compliance findings in this area for a number of years as well, and SABC has been qualified for at least the last 5 years on irregular expenditure. So we considered that more needs to be done to ensure that SABC can now move out of their qualification space if they resolve the issues relating to the reporting of irregular expenditure. Inadequate consequences and poor performance and transgressions were noted at SABC and CASA, as indicated in our previous slides as well, and we noted instability or vacancies in key positions at DOC and FP. Thank you, Joy.
Thank you. So in the telecoms portfolio, from a slow or no response to improving key controls and addressing risk areas, we didn't note an improvement in an overall level. CETA and NEMISA is still sitting as an area of concern. So NEMISA being the performance information, which is where we've identified most of the material statements. And then CETA, the area that is now resulted in certification. So we need to be an active role that is played to make sure that the internal control or the deficiencies in internal control is addressed and is given the attention that is required. And then in terms of inadequate consequences for poor performance and transgression, we've noted the improvement, as was there in the previous year. And we've noted that they've started implementing some of their planned actions that they had committed to implement in the previous year when they received an unqualified finding. CETA can hopefully will follow suit and implement the recommendations that have been provided to them during an audit, and to be able to make sure that the areas of compliance are addressed and the necessary actions are taken against those that have been identified to have transgressed or they are not performing as according as is expected. And then in terms of instability of positions, CETA has been noted as an area of concern. We have identified a lot of vacancies at an ESCO level, and as a result, they've resulted in an overall weakness in the internal environment of CETA. Although there are personnel that are acting in those positions, their respective roles have not been filled, and as a result, there's now an overall gap in the capacity of the organization. So we have noted the chief key roles, such as your chief executive officer, chief financial officer, the executive in strategy management, the executive in networks and service management, the company secretary, and the executive in supply chain management. So those are all the key roles where currently there's acting personnel that are sitting in those positions.
Thanks, Joyce. We then move on to our last slide in our presentation on our recommendations. The first set of recommendations refer to the department and its entities, where we say that the department and its entities should develop an effective action plan to address the audit outcome. The action plan should cover the financial statements, compliance with legislation, and performance reporting. The plans should also be adequately monitored to ensure that corrective action is taken when necessary, and the plan should also ensure that consequence management is effectively implemented. We also recommend that these action plans should also form part of the performance contracts of the officials, and in addition, a task team within the department should monitor the implementation of each entity's action plan. Near key vacancies have been identified that potentially impact on audit outcomes. It is important that these are prioritized and posed with competent officials. In respect of consequence management, we say that the department and the entities must ensure that this is prioritized and implemented as and when transgressions and or poor performance is identified and addressed effectively and timely. The department and its entities should also review the weaknesses that have been identified relating to their systems and internal control processes to improve on this when necessary to ensure that the quality of the financial statement is adhered to and to ensure that they're in compliance with legislation and quality performance reports. To the portfolio committee, we recommend that you request regular feedback on these action plans and the implementation thereof. Ensure that there's effective monitoring to ensure that officials are held accountable where this is considered necessary. The committee must also continue to monitor the appointment of key vacancies. Any fruitless and wasteful and irregular expenditure identified should be regularly followed up to confirm that all such instances are adequately investigated and that adequate consequence management is implemented. And the committee must also request and monitor the implementation of internal controls and improvements to internal controls to ensure that quality financial statements are prepared and that there is compliance with legislation and quality. Thank you, Chair. With that, I'll hand over back to you then.
Thank you for the presentation. Honorable members, as I indicated earlier, I would give a chance to it is offers to complement the fact that you may have received the presentations quite late. And I'm sure our members will be ready to engage with the presentation in the remaining time we have. But before that, I just thought maybe clarify this HS office for members. That from where we are in terms of committee program, we would have dealt with BPI and probably what could be your criteria to take them out just for purposes of consistency in the way you engage. Just clarify that and then we allow members then to engage.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe just on the question around BVI, our understanding as of yesterday was that BVI has not yet tabled the annual report, and as such we were then requested to remove them from the presentation. Initially I also referred to our policy of only discussing all the outcomes after the annual report has been tabled. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable members, may I then take hands for those members who joined this week?
Thank you, Chair.
Hi, Chair, Ms. Baku, Mr. McKenzie, Ms. Mandozi, and Ms. Pandam have their hands up, Chair.
Okay, we'll take them in that order. Honorable Faku, Honorable Machoso, Honorable McKenzie, Honorable Machoso, and Honorable Pandam. I'll take further hands.
I see Honorable Kubeka's hand is also up, Chair.
And should follow after Honorable Fadam.
Thank you, Chairperson. Gracious grounds and greetings to Honorable members and greetings to the AGP. Greetings to the support staff, Chair. My apologies, my camera app for terrible network. Chair, first let us send our condolences to the former AG. We want to thank him for the dedication and for his family for giving us the South Africans to hold us as government accountable. We appreciate that. We also appreciate the good work that the AG team has done. Thank you very much. Let us also today celebrate President Ramaphosa's birthday, one of the reasons that he's really telling us to hold government accountable. Hope him happy birthday. Chair, let us appreciate the political age. I think it gives the future we do proper oversight. But I think some of the issues they have raised and some of the issues that we've been raising as a committee in terms of frequent expenditures, in terms of consequence management, in terms of positions, critical positions, you know, but I think as we move forward, we need to have we need to really pay attention to these issues they have raised. In particular, with CETA, as we know that CETA has an issue of they don't have capacity. And that results to the audit they have received. Secondly, it results to the irregular expenditure, as we have seen some of the finance reports, like contracts that are, I think, over 500 cases were not advertised and so forth. So I think that as a committee, with the department need to, the department needs to take responsibility and make sure that the issue of vacancies in these entities must be filled. And I think that is what also makes the SPP, and they are also struggling. So you know when people don't, are not in positions, they are not appointed, they don't take the full responsibility of what is happening. Also with CASA and for them, like we have also raised this issue of consequence management. When people are not all responsible for the wrong they are doing, we are seeing that there's a lot of irregular expenditure, especially with the SABC, the CASA and BETA. So I think these are things that we must make sure the committee will move forward and that we focus on it, especially on the recommendations. That there must be an implementation plan, and as a committee, we need to monitor this implementation plan. I think that SABC is currently sitting at 82% of the regular expenditure, and this is very worrisome. And I think, Chair, one of the issues that was raised in our last meeting is the issue of cost of management. I think this is where we're failing. And I think the AG is also recommending to us today that there must be regular training performed for compliance. Perhaps the department or the entities are not doing this. We must monitor that, that these trainings are conducted on a daily basis. We also appreciate the decrease from irregular expenditure from 378 to 400 something. It's not the difference. The margin is not that much, but there is a decrease chairperson. Maybe we are doing our oversight, but we are not doing it up to the level that we are supposed to do it, Chair. So I think, Chair, let me stop there. I'll come back on this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Fabi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to you and good morning to the colleagues and the presenters. Thank you so much for the presentation. If I can just echo the Chairperson and Honourable Fox in conveying my condolences to Karen Fletcher's family, his colleagues at the Auditor General, and I think our country at large. The fall tree throws a lot of shade, and we'll no doubt put many of us stood in the shade of his work and his life. And I salute him and his family. Just to move on. The president, I mentioned this before, and I'll repeat it if I can, and I want the AG to give me some guidance going forward. The president has mentioned zero-based budgeting, all the Minister of Finance, as a standard that will be brought into to government departments and entities when they plan their APPs going forward. Can you just give me an idea of where we are with that in terms of the Auditor General? Have you put any plans in place? Have you got a start date for that? Have you got any plans to speak to the department about any changes, if necessary, that will take to their reporting? Then can you tell me, we've had incidents in the past where the AG's gone into specific municipalities or companies or departments and encountered an awful lot of hostility, obviously because of the salary or things that were going on there. Can you just give us an idea of what that climate is for the AG when you go into our entities that report to this portfolio, and what sort of environment have you encountered? Any hostility or anything like that we should be aware of? In terms of the outstanding audits not tabled, SOS and BBI, can you just give us a reason why those aren't ready? Is that to do with going concern status, to do with the mergers? Do you have any indication why you don't have those yet? You say you're in progress with SAPO and USAF. Can you give us an idea when we're likely to finish that audit and get a report on that? I think I'll stop there. again, Angie, thank you very much. You really do a service to our country. Thank you.
Honorable Mackenzie, Honorable Machozi.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, let me greet the honorable members, our support staff, the Auditor General's office, and also maybe to also convey our condolences to the former Auditor General, Babu Makwetu, to say that condolences to the office, to the family. He played a very huge role in the office of the AG, and we acknowledged that he was a rare skill that we had in terms of holding the government accountable. I think we must acknowledge too, that many of the entities in the department are not doing very well in terms of compliance and in their financials as well, but also let's congratulate those entities that have improved your MTTA and other entities. And with an exception of CETA, I think it's in a crisis. We must, as a committee, we must make sure that we play also our overall in making sure that these entities account properly to the committee, and also not leaving out the department. The department must tell us, as the auditors have said, that in terms of the action plans that they will be putting in place to make sure that all these findings that are there must then be addressed. I just wanted to check, Chair, with the presentation that during their reporting and submission of required documents and so forth, do they have meetings with the internal auditors in these different entities to check what policies are in place, and to also check if some of the things they are not doing correctly, because I heard that there are other entities like your SABC, NEMISA, and CETA, which did not, ICASA, you know, which were not compliant on other things. Do they have regular meetings with the internal auditors in these different entities to make sure that maybe the compliance is there and so forth, or are these entities not willing to give documents to the AG to make sure that they comply with everything? Because what we're looking at is very serious. It's a serious case, and as a committee, I think we have not done justice as well, because there are no oversight that we have done so far in terms of going to sit and maybe see what are the problems and so forth, so that when they come and present here, it seems as if we're a committee of boardrooms. But I think from now on, maybe we must also play our role and make sure that we go to these entities, see how they are functioning, and maybe it will give us a clear picture of what is happening, because what we are receiving now from the AG, it's not amusing, it's not impressing, Chair. But those are the comments that I have. Just one question: that do they sit in regular meetings with the internal auditors in different entities? Thanks.
Honorable Matthews, thank you. Honorable Fandam.
Thanks, Chair. And good morning to all attendees. I would just like to echo our condolences to the AG team on the passing of Mr. Makwetu, as well as his family and loved ones. The incoming AG will have very big shoes to fill indeed, and we trust that the great work that Mr. Mukwege did in service of our country will continue. So a lot of the questions I had, the AG's office said, you know, they couldn't speak to until the annual report came out, which the questions I had had sought a bit more detail about specific issues. But I will ask some of them, and some I will wait for the actual annual reports. Honourable Majozi has said, very, very deeply concerned about CETA, and I think we will have to do some proper investigation on what is happening there, because I've seen that they've been embroiled, which would not be in the time period that the AG would have covered in some of the PPE tender issues. So I think we will have to really increase our focus on that, because it is indeed very, very worrying. And then I don't know if the AG's office is currently involved at all in the investigations that are taking place there by the SIU relating to the PPE tenders, or whether any matters have been referred to them. I imagine the SIU is quite snowed under, so I'm wondering if they are lending a hand there and are doing their bit. The SABC is also very worrying, particularly when it comes to procurement. Now, I mean, we can, I think, all understand the impact that COVID would have had on their bottom line, and that is perfectly understandable. But there continues to be issues with procurement, is something that requires our investigation, and hopefully something we should be able to see once the annual report comes out, and we can zero in on which specific contracts those were. I don't know if the AG would be willing to tell us what those were, or is it a matter that falls under the matters that cannot be discussed until the annual report is out. And then just in terms of the AG's office work, in terms of the bailout money that was given, the very strict preconditions set by National Treasury, I would like to know whether the AG did work specifically around that money, because there have been allegations that money has been spent for things that it was not allocated for. Did they have any kind of analysis of the bailout money and whether that was spent correctly in terms of those preconditions? And yeah, that's it for now, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much. Let me start by greeting the honorable members, the staff that is supporting us of the department, the committee, and also let me greet the delegation of the office of the SG. Firstly, also let me send my condolences to the family of Ntate Kimi Makwechu, and also the office as it is, because it was actually attached also to the late Ntate Makwechu. May his soul rest in peace. But what I would like also in the office is to say, keep the legacy. You know that very well, the passion that Ntate Makwechu was having on the side of this country, to serve it with a dignity, and also to wish to see the improvement in all these departments that we are in.
so may his soul rest in peace. Chair, let me also acknowledge the presentation as the officer has been presented. But let me say, maybe we are not too far, because definitely I think all the things that they have raised, especially on our side as a committee, that what actually our role that we need to play, actually, which means we were trying also, we were on the right track, because it was a worrisome on our side on the issue of the irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. It was a worrisome on our side when these entities on the side of the key vacancies, that they are not filling. We were raising those things. The issue of the internal controls in these entities, we were raising it sharply so. And also on the issue of the feedback, we are trying just to push the department also in order that we can receive those feedback in these entities. But also let me appreciate these entities that they are continually receiving the clean audit. Let them keep on just like that, Chair, but we will try also just to check how best can we have the issue of copying whatever these entities they are doing, in these entities that they are still struggling to get their house in order in 2010. So let me appreciate those entities like Ventec, like GTIF. It's unfortunate on the side of the FTP, but I think we have raised sharply so on this issue, because we know that it was also the one entity that they have receiving a clean audit, but right now they have regrets. But we've managed also to identify and also to try to engage with them where they know that that is a reason that makes them to regret, especially on that side of the SDF. I hope also, because you can see that the departments that are the entities that made to get a challenge, we are aware, as the Office of the Auditor General is presenting today, let us be cautioning on the side of the ICASA, on the side of SABC, the CETA, and the MISA also. These entities, we can see that there are serious challenges that we need to focus in these entities in order that we can see how best can we try and play our role on the side of the oversight. And especially as a CETA and SABC, you can see that they are those key challenges that are there in order that we need to take into consideration. But also, Chair, let me say, ICASA, it's more years that they will continue having this unqualified finding. This is a high time. They need to move. They are not supposed to be stagnant, because you can see that every time, even if they have presented today, it was only in those five actually key things that they have raised the Office of the Auditor General. They tried to move to two issues. These key three issues of the contract, of the SDM, of the procurement, those are the things that you can see that, and also on the issue of playing their role on keeping accountable on the side of the management, you can see that the ICASA is sleeping there. So we are saying, let them try to push. We are not expecting in the next financial year to see ICASA in the side of the unqualified findings with findings, actually, opinion. So we are saying we will try our level best, the Office of the Auditor General. Thank you, because now you have raised whatever things that you have raised to say they are critical. Indeed, we are trying to come a little bit harsh on these entities in order that they must move and they must respond in a positive manner. And especially on the side of the irregular expenditure, as you have raised, indeed, even this committee is keeping raising to these entities to say, let them lift their stocks up. And also on those issues of the non-compliance, as we have raised, on the side of the financial statements leadership, I think we need also to be on their toes in order that we can see how best they can move in order that to find at least a better report, because these are the funds that are being the taxpayers' money, so we need indeed to work in a proper manner that we try to satisfy these public that have given us an opportunity to be in this position. So let me pause there, Chair. I think I will come maybe in the second round, thanks to the Office of the Auditor General.
Thank you, Honorable Kubeka. Maybe just for, again, the purpose of bringing clarity, that I expect again,
Honorable Chair,
my document, that BBI actually presented to the committee, just the ATC of the fifth. BBI is all there, so that if you are to come back, it shouldn't be like whether agreed that it doesn't. And that's what we tried to clarify by yesterday. Honorable Mlala, I didn't see your hand. I had Honorable Omega's hand as the last at that time. Sorry for not recognizing your hand. You can then proceed.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, and thanks to the AG's team. I think the chairperson has already done a message of condolences for all of us, and we concur with that message. There's just two things that I wanted to raise with the AG. The first one is in terms of your report, you said the overall portfolio has remained stagnant. That's your introductory remark. Generally, there's no improvement. That's what you are saying, HG. That's the general assessment that you made. And in that regard, I will focus on three entities which in your report you said they did not comply in terms of the top five non-compliant. And then those entities in my own assessment is ICASA, SABC and CETA. And the PFMA quite very clear, AG, that the accounting officers are responsible to prevent particularly irregular expenditure. Now, I hear that I don't want to call it an excuse, but I think it's an excuse. I mean, how does COVID-19 relate to irregular expenditure? I don't know how does it relate to that. That you continue to spend money regularly, and then on the other side, then this issue of COVID-19, lockdown, and so on. Now, two contributors, SAPC and CETA. CETA contributed 1.3 billion on irregular expenditure, according to your report. SAPC has contributed 82% of the overall 358 million, which is average 200 and something million, I think. I'm not very sure in terms of numbers. Now, maybe after the annual report, maybe I should agree with Honorable Fandam on this one. Let's see, after annual report, I think we must go deeper into this regular expenditure, because we can't just leave it as it is. We must go deeper. But for now, I think my assessment is that we need to focus on where particularly a lot of money has gone to, because this is where a lot of wrong things happen. So if for instance, we say the top five non-compliant, quality of financial statements, management of procurement, prevention of irregular expenditure, consequence management, I think we must really support your NG that after the annual report, there should be consequences. I don't think we're just going to say people must improve, attend to the management letter. If this thing continues for the third financial year, somebody must come. I mean, we can't just sit with money being spent, public money being spent, and no consequences. I don't think we are here in Parliament to do that. So part of our support to UHG is that all this report, we acknowledge and appreciate the report, but we can assure you that this will be the last year when people, there's no consequence. We are going to push that as Parliament, that there should be consequences for money that is spent irregularly. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Lulan. I will now give to the side of the AG for response to the Minister's plan. We'll then check if there are further questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll start before I hand over to my colleagues to answer some of the questions related to her portfolio. Chair, let me start by thanking the committee for the words of condolences. I think it's quite an emotional time for all of the staff of the AGFA, as the late AG has been with our office for a period of 14 years already, plus as the Deputy Auditor General and then as the Auditor General. I think, as the committee has indicated, he has made an impact on South Africa as a whole, and I just wanted to assure the committee that he has made an indelible mark within the AGFA itself, and I am certain that his legacy will continue to live for many, many more years to come. So thank you very much for that. Let me also acknowledge then the commitments that have been made by the committee members to follow up on some of these on the issues that we've raised and to assist in improving the audit outcomes in respect of that. Chair, then I'll then just go through some of the questions and hope that I've captured everything. We note the comments that have been made by Honorable Fako, so thank you very much for that. I did not note any questions relating to that. Honorable McKenzie had raised three questions. The first was around the matter of zero-based budgeting, which he indicated that the President had referred to. And the question was, where are we with this matter as the AGFA, and are there any plans to deal with this as part of the audit process? So maybe in response, when we perform our audits, our primary focus is on the financial statements. In the expression of an opinion thereof, we do look at compliance with legislation, and as part of that process, we will also consider whether the budgets have been prepared, whether the budgets have been appropriately approved. But we do not go into the detail of how the budget has been prepared and whether it's been appropriately prepared, and therefore, we don't specifically go and consider whether they are complying with specific requirements that have been set out by the National Treasury. However, it is a matter that we can consider from a value-adding point of view. However, at this point in time, there has been no indication from our office that we will continue to look at this as part of the audit process. That's where we are in terms of that. The second question was around whether we encountered any hostility during our audits, similar to what we had experienced at some of the municipalities in prior years. And I think I'm very glad to say that for the audit specifically in this portfolio, but mostly across our PFMA audits, we don't encounter the same level of hostility. And maybe just to add that in the portfolio that we're currently talking to today, there are no matters that we need to report to you, and that we receive adequate cooperation throughout the entire audit. In terms of the reason for annual report not being tabled, I think what I can comment on is that some of these audits, the audit reports have been concluded. We've spoken to audits that are not completed on SAVO and USAF, but my colleague Joyce will continue to talk to that. At this point in time, I think it's better to ask specific entities as to why it's not yet tabled. We unfortunately not in a position to be able to comment on, you know, why it has not yet been tabled. Thank you very much for that. Honorable Majority had raised two questions that I had captured. The first was around the submission of required documentation and whether the management is willing to give documents to the Auditor General. In our analysis of the audits that we've spoken to today, we have received almost all of the information that we have requested. We did present in our slides on internal control to entities where we did encounter some challenges around proper record keeping, where we were unable to get some of the information. However, we do not consider this to be significant enough to have caused a limitation on the scope of our audit process. So I have to say that for this particular portfolio, we do not have such limitations that we need to report to you on. The second question was around internal audits and do we have regular meetings with internal audits to then determine what is the level of work that they've done and their impact there the audit outcome for each of the departments and entities. And then in response to this question, essentially from an audit process point of view, the internal audit function is a significant part thereof. We would consult with internal audit through our planning processes identify what work has been done by them to determine whether that work can be used within the audit process as well, and we will also then consider what are the reports that have been issued by internal audit to determine whether there's any specific risk areas that need to be taken into account in the audit process. You'll notice that when we spoke to assurance providers, we do also provide an assessment of internal audit where we would then determine whether the work that has been done by internal audit has been appropriate or has adequately covered the specific areas that were reported in the audit report, and then to determine whether there's any additional things that we consider that internal audit should be doing in that respect. In respect of this portfolio, we had identified, I think, for FDB that the internal audit unit does provide assurance. However, you know, there's more that can be done in that respect. My colleague Joyce will then talk to the DTPS portfolio, where we did notice that internal audit had was reported as concerning or requiring intervention at Centec and at Sinica, indicated in our slides, but she'll also talk to that particular aspect. So thank you for those questions. The Honourable Fandam had raised three questions that I've noted. The first one is the AGSA involved with the SIU investigation, or have any matters been referred to them in respect of the CETA audit? With that one, I will ask my colleague Joyce to then respond to that one. The second question was around SABC and the procurement process to determine whether there are any contracts that require investigation. Maybe with the SABC, from an audit perspective, we've not identified any specific contracts that we have referred for investigation. We did, however, raise concerns around the weaknesses in the internal control environment that had resulted in significant amounts of irregular expenditure. And we have also reported to management that when you have an internal control environment that is weak, you essentially create a situation that is susceptible to fraud. And therefore, you know, there could be various matters that might not come to our attention as part of the audit process, but it's the responsibility of management then to determine whether there could be any, untoward intentions in terms of those which they will continue to do as part of an investigation process. And it's also important that management and the board specifically look at strengthening the internal control environment in this area to ensure that, we don't have such a situation that would require further investigation. There was a question around the bailout, and did we do any specific work around the bailout, and whether the money that was used was spent for the purposes that have been incurred. Maybe just some background to the committee. There were specific conditions that were attached to the bailout, and these conditions were necessary to be achieved prior to the finalization of the process and the provision of the bailout itself. So those conditions were satisfied prior to the payment that was made to the SABC. And essentially it was the Department of Communications that was very involved in determining whether those conditions were specifically met. So we didn't specifically look at, achievement of the conditions. I think as part of the audit process, we did, however, review the documentation that was submitted to the DOC, and we noted that the Department of Communications, together with National Treasury, were satisfied with the responses provided by the SABC in response to the conditions, and that the bailout was essentially passed. We have, during the audit process, determined that in terms of the bailout, the SABC is required to report regularly to National Treasury on the use of the funds to ensure that they are using it for the purposes that were intended. And as part of our audit process, we did have a look at this, and there were no material matters that we noted in terms of how the bailout was utilized during the year under review. I noticed questions from Honorable Quebec. Sorry, not a question, but rather comments from Honorable Quebec, but did not want to take questions. And similarly, Honorable Mulana, we know the comments have been raised, but did not want to take questions really. With that, I'd like to hand over to my colleague Joyce to then assist with any further questions relating to her portfolio. Thank you.
Thank you. I will try not to repeat the answers that have already been provided by my colleagues. So what I'll basically do is that I'll just go directly to those ones where she specifically mentioned that I need to respond to. I will start with the question that was posed by Honorable Mackenzie, where he wanted to know if we have been experiencing austerity in the audits that we've been doing. I can also confirm for the telecom portfolio that we haven't been experiencing any major pushbacks. The working environment has been conducive in a way that it allows us to perform our audit. And then from the question that was asked relating to the outstanding audit, the post office is outstanding and USAF is outstanding. USAF, the expected completion date is this end of November. So there has been some complexities in completing the audit together with post office, the same thing relates, and as a result there are just delays in the overall conclusion of the audit. So there's some significant internal issues that amongst ourselves as the auditors and the auditee we are trying to resolve in ensuring that the audits are completed. However, just to note that there were also submissions that were done a month later for both entities. And then in the question that was asked by Honorable Majosi relating to do we have meetings with internal audits, I think my colleague has sufficiently covered that, and whether are we also having issues with information that's not provided to us. I know for CETA I have indicated that there were quite a few limitations that we experienced in the area of confirming the compliance, and as a result we could not conclude on the total figure that should have been reported as irregular expenditure. So what we have noted there as the key area of which is an issue is how the proper record keeping is done and the internal controls of ensuring that there are processes in place to make sure that, you know, information is recorded as agency as it needs to be and it's kept, and, you know, it allows for re-auditing to be done, so there's a proper audit trail that's present and can be provided to us. So it's just pure, overall it's a pure indication of poor internal control processes and poor record keeping, and as a result, you know, information when it's requested could not be provided to us. And then question that came from Honorable Van Dam relating to the PPE tender issues that has been now referred to the SIU. We haven't started with the new audit, so I'm assuming that this matter relates to the new financial year, but generally what happens in instances where there are issues that have been referred for investigation is that when we do our audit, we'll also include it in our scope and we'll include it as an area that we will assess using our auditing methodology. And from, depending on how far the investigation has gone, we will consider, you know, the outcome of the investigation. If maybe there's a need for us to do our own assessment separate from the investigation, we then do so. And then if there are any conclusions that come up that affect, you know, the auditing process or the financial matters that are being that need to be reported on compliance matters, then we will then take it from there. But currently, I can't confirm with us the exact details of that information. As I've indicated, it sounds like an issue that affects the new audit cycle that we haven't started with. And then overall, from the rest of the honourable members, we have noted the comments that have been put through and the commitments that have been made. We appreciate you appreciating the effort that we make, and also bounding yourself or allowing yourself to put yourself in a position where you are able to avail and provide the relevant oversight that's required. So thank you from my side.
Thank you, Professor Fiotitumba. May I just check before we try to wrap up if there are still matters that the members would say after their response they may want to get clarity on before we move towards wrapping up of the meeting. Tembikosi, on your side, if you can indicate if you see something else. Tembikosi? Okay, on my side, I also don't see any hands. I think honorable members, we must thank the office of the AG for being before the committee and taking the committee through on what they would have looked at in our departments as well as our entities. I think there is a point to make just as a way of remembering the observations that the committee should continue to make. I think whilst there are those entities that may still need intervention, it depends on how you interpret the information presented. Please mute. It depends on the information that is presented and how we interpret it. That indeed in some areas there are serious improvements. I'll say personally, Honorable McKenzie, I would have not thought of the TPS having a clean audit, looking at all the matters that came before the committee of previous years. And I think for a department that has been reconfigured as of the 1st of April, it augurs well in that you'll have a few matters to deal with, which are in terms of this report, mainly in the DOC, procurement management and contracts management. But I think that's an important improvement. As well as the MDDA, as this committee has been doing oversight, we have been raising problems of glorious days of the MDDA and so on, with all the challenges with the board had to fix the number of board members in this financial year, but at least they closed the financial year again with a clean audit. And I'm sure even with GCIS, it should really encourage them that as they help the entity that reports to them, that entity has been able to cross that line and join GCIS, which has a very good track record of keeping clean audits. And I think it's the same with Centec. This committee has always appreciated that Centec, as it comes before the committee, not just from a point of in terms of financial viability, but that in the way it has conducted its business, that we're able to keep clean audits. So I just think that those pockets of excellence, we should always praise them in a way that helps to lift up the other entities. I'm just saying that I'm raising it because this report is received as reflecting the previous financial year, and the committee has seen some of the reports in terms of the quarterly reports for this year, and we'll keep on checking whether the matters raised by the Auditor General have been addressed or not. Of course, I agree, Honorable Mlala, that what this committee has been insisting on is consequence management, and we should insist on getting reports on that. So that we know that action is being taken. especially on those that may be matters that are recurring. Recurring in the sense that it's not contracts that are cutting across over a period of time, but it's the same matters raised previously, but they occur again in the next financial year as new matters for that year, where we needed to prove that there are controls in place. So I think we would have to pay attention as the committee. But I think also we would need to pay attention to Yusuf and SAPO, because I'm happy that the matter has been clarified. If the submissions are late, the audit will be late. So that the thinking is not that because there's COVID and then probably the AG's office may be the one delaying with the audit. But if submissions were late, it also affects the consultations with the ODT and therefore the finalization of the report. I think it's a matter we need to watch carefully. And the approach of the committee has always been that as the departments are improving, let's ensure that all the entities are improving going up. I think with regards to the point of oversight, yeah, I think Honorable Kubeka, in my view, covered this point well, that most of the matters that the AG raises are as a result of also questions that we're asking as a committee as part of playing our oversight role. Of course, we'll have different interpretations of what this oversight is, but probably to simplify it is both inside the boardroom and outside the boardroom, because the results we have is because of the critical questions we ask in meetings we attend, honorable members, so that we view that as also an important task that we do. Of course, with regards to the point raised by Honorable Majosi, we can remind you, Honorable Majors, that the committee can check the minutes we have approved. The committee has applied for oversight visits. I think we're particular on USASA, we're particular on SAPO, but in some instances this would have been turned down because they would affect the program of Parliament. In the previous meetings, we have also insisted on having those now because the virtual meetings do present a situation where we can balance that work, that of not tempering Parliament program, but as well as us doing work there on the ground just to validate the information that is usually shared with us. So I can assure you that if you have an opportunity to go back to the minutes we approved previously, those were specific, and we have asked management committee and the secretary to do that, and we just await the feedback from the House Chair in that regard. But as I said, however, that does not undermine the fact that as portfolio committee members were attending meetings, they've been asking these critical questions to the departments as well as the entities. And in some instances, we have not hidden our dissatisfaction in the way things are done and made recommendations on what needs to be done. And I think we should do that. I take it that there was no issue raised on the recommendations made except that we accept the recommendations on what the portfolio is expected to do, and of course do more. Maybe the last point to make would really be that those that obtain clean audits, this has been our approach, honorable members. Again, as a reminder, that we have emphasized that it should not be a surprise that an entity or department gets a clean audit. Because for you to maintain that clean audit, it must also be about systems in place, procedures in place, but people who maintain those systems in such that there's no reoccurrence that can make people to regress. So in essence, when you get a clean audit, the challenge is even more than the one who's striving to be clean, in that you must defend that green bar. And I think that's a message we would send to those that have now obtained a clean audit, that we do not regress, which is something the committee noted when we were dealing with the annual report of FPB, that everything else has to be done, that they go back to the clean audit and be able to keep that by making the necessary interventions that are needed to do that. So I'm just saying, honorable members, I think as we will be dealing with quarterly reports that would come before us, we should bear in mind this report that we dealt with and check that we are able to keep the departments and the entities focused on addressing those, of course, without compromising delivery, because our approach should also be that there must be both delivery and that when accountability test comes, we'll still have clean audits. And there are departments that have shown that and entities who delivered even during the COVID time. And we said, please make sure that even in that period, demonstrate that you can deliver even under emergency situations without compromising good governance and accountability. But I think that's really where we are. We'll continue to clarify the point about those that have not tabled, which is a matter we would have to interact with the department in this regard, as to where are we on that. And if this comes after the time that has been scheduled for us to adopt the BRRR, we will indicate that we still have those pending and that we need to come back to them as the committee, because they must be processed. Otherwise, honorable members, I think we can only once again thank the Minister General for coming before the committee and writing us on what's happening in the entity. Thank you. Thanks, Richie, and the department, as well as honorable members. And that will then take us to officially close off our meeting. And this meeting is adjourned.